A Methodist sister in my town, Macon, Georgia, some years ago, was caught up in the heavenly world, and she said she heard the heavenly voice saying, "My servant Mosley will centralize on me and my way of life as love, the only way to victory." We've got to centralize on something. And the highest centralization of all is upon Jesus and his way of life. And his way of life is limitless love. Love to your friends and love to your enemies.
Hallelujah.
A life that's all love and nothing but love. And as Sidney Lanier, our Macon poet, put it, when life's all love, 'tis life, aught else is not. And as he also put it in his poem, How Love Looked for Hell, there's plenty of hell everywhere where love is not, but there's no hell where love is. And when love rides in, hell goes out.
Hallelujah.
The only way you'll ever get hell out is to get love in. And so that's the conclusion of all the wise men of all the ages. The inner light and all experience should teach men the folly of being unloving and the wisdom of being loving. The wisdom of giving to all men what you'd like to receive yourself, and the folly of giving to anybody anything you wouldn't like to receive yourself. The wisdom of knowing that you don't have to try to force people to give you things, but just go to giving the things you'd like to receive, and the things you'd like to receive will flow back to you good measure, pressed down and running over. If you want hell, hallelujah, give hell. Hallelujah. If you want heaven, give heaven. If you want heaven part of the time and hell part of the time, give heaven part of the time and hell part of the time. And you'll find out the difference. Hallelujah. But if you ever love heaven so well, you want heaven all the time. The only way to have heaven all the time is to love it well enough to give nothing but heaven all the time to everybody and everything. And when you come to that giving, unlimited giving of heaven, you'll be in heaven. And you're not entitled to be in heaven until you love heaven so well you won't give anything but heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And Jesus, in speaking of the sheep and the goats, where they went, he didn't say God sent them. They just went where they belonged. We do love you, Lord. Now, on the last night, it seems that Jesus brought together in deed and in teaching, and even in the very tone of his voice, you can almost sound out through that marvelous record that's made by John in the Gospel of John. And it's been said that if everything Jesus said and did had been reported as fully as the last night was reported, it would require 32 large volumes to report his earthly experience. Well, what was the emphasis on the last night? The emphasis upon the last night was, I am going to wash your feet. And if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. In other words, you don't have to be washed all over, but you do need to have the dust that accumulates on the way washed off. And Christians are to be good foot washers and not mud slingers. And it's all right to use it as a right, provided you practice it in life. If you're actually washing feet that are dirty and need washing, it looks like to me you could have a wonderfully good time celebrating as a right. But if you wash clean feet at the right and refuse to wash dirty feet outside of it, you've missed the whole point of the lesson. And then he moves into his teaching his new commandment of love. He'd already given the Father's commandment that he got from his Father, not only to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, but also to love your enemies and to do your enemies all possible good. And you can never have a heaven anywhere as long as you're hating your enemies. In the higher realm where God reigns and is triumphant, and where St. John got a glimpse where Jesus now is, there's nothing but love in that realm. There's nothing but life in that realm. No disease in it at all. No aches, no pains, no grunts, no lacks, no complainings of any kind. And St. John saw that heavenly order coming down to earth. Well, that's precisely in line with Jesus' teaching and Jesus' prayer. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done where? Thy will be done right down here, like it's done up there. Let it be done down here where the need for it is extreme, as well as up in the heavenly realm. And so the movement of the heavenly order is down to us.
Hallelujah.
And we certainly do need it to land quickly on the earth. If we could get heaven and land on earth before we get bummed, my, what a good time we'd have. That's the movement of the divine spirit. And so Jesus gives his new commandment, which is an easier commandment than's ever been given before, because in the commandment to love your enemies and to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself, you have to do the loving.
Hallelujah.
Now in this new commandment, you're loved into loving. Just as your mother smiles your babies into smiling, you receive his love and give his love.
Hallelujah.
I love you like the Father loves me.
Hallelujah.
You receive this love and pass this love on. And it's not difficult to pass anything on after you get it. It's perstly easy to scatter the smallpox, provided you have it. But nobody will ever communicate smallpox by talking about smallpox. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Suppose you didn't have smallpox and you had the 7-year itch and move among the people. You'd get the people excited over the smallpox, but you'd give them the itch. I'll admit to talk about the smallpox gives a kind of a preparation for taking it. Hallelujah. When you find somebody that has it.
Hallelujah.
But you don't get it by talk.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And so the commandment to love from the outside didn't succeed.
Hallelujah.
The law made nothing perfect and never does make anything perfect, the outer law. Because the outer law tells you what you ought to do without putting the desire to do it and the love to do it on the inside of you. You can preach to a fast puppy all you want to, that he ought to act like a bulldog. But when he gets off of guard, he's going to act like a fast and not act like a bulldog. Hallelujah. And you would tell ordinary human nature what to do all you want to. Hallelujah. And when it gets off guard, it's going to act out the human nature, not act out the divine nature. The only way it'll ever act out the divine nature is to get the divine nature on the inside of it. And so one of the highest reaches in the Old Testament, that reach by Jeremiah, or reported by Jeremiah, was, my old covenant has failed. I've been telling people to do what they ought to do, without the love of doing it and the ability to do it being on the inside. Now we're going to reverse this process and we'll write the law in the heart and in the mind and get the people so they love to do what they should do, and when they love to do what they should do, they'll do it. And so the new covenant will be a success. And so this order of love, a new element is entered into it, as Jesus put it on the last night. The Father has loved me in this unspeakable way, and he loves those that have joined up with me the same as he loves me.
Hallelujah.
And now the commandment I give you, the new thing that I give you is, you go to loving one another like the Father loves me, and you go to loving one another like I love you. And it's not an impossible thing to do, because Jesus loved you into this kind of love. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And you feel disposed and inspired to go out and give this love and to give this mercy to other people. And you really haven't got the old-time religion unless it's flowered out in loving everybody. And if you've been short on loving somebody, when this old-time religion strikes you, when this heavenly love gets on the inside of you, when this great forgiveness and this great mercy has come within you, the very person you've been shortest of all in loving is the very one that you want to get to and ask forgiveness and go to loving. And so this new thing is higher than any other commandment of conduct has ever been. For if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you don't love him very much. The natural man don't. And if you love your neighbor only as you love yourself, you don't love him much. See the way you're treating yourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of you at this present stage would rather suffer between meals and have a good time at meals. Hallelujah. Than to hold up at meals and have a good time between meals. And if you really loved yourself, you'd reverse the process. Just like that man said to me, and he's a great big healthy man and made a whole lot of money, and he had himself in arthritis, rheumatism, high blood pressure, hallelujah, and kindred ill. Early in life, he said to me one day, if I eat like you do, I don't know what I'd want to live. Well, I said, just admit you may enjoy meal times a little better than I do. I doubt that. But I'm enjoying between meals so much better. And there's so much more time between meals than at meals. If you have real good sense, you're going to eat in terms of enjoying yourself between meals. And not at meals. Hallelujah. And so the way you've been treating yourself, you haven't loved yourself well enough to overdo loving anybody else, haven't you? But I tell you, if you go to loving one another like Jesus Christ loves you, why, you'd lay down your life for your brother. You'd give up your tobacco for your brother, and if it offended him. Hallelujah. You'd give up your toddy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You'd give up your hog and hominy, and that hog and hominy is good for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And at this point, you've heard of that converted Jew. I've forgotten his name. They wanted to know of him if you couldn't eat hog and go to heaven. He said, yes, and the more you eat, the quicker you'll go. If you're fixed up, so you'll go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know anything that'll put you there quicker than to get very tired and over-exercised and be on the fringe of high blood pressure and eat a whole lot of ham. Hallelujah. Two of my best friends went to heaven prematurely on ham. So if we can't get a standard of loving more than we love ourselves under the law, it's going to be mighty poor loving, isn't it? Hallelujah. But we have the standard set. There's one who lays down his life, not only for the brethren, but he lays down his life for his friends. There's one who not only gives you as good as he's got, but here is one who gives everything. Hallelujah. And I asked him once if he wanted me to be as poor as he was, and the answer came back, no, I want you to be as rich as I am. Well, there's a Bible for that. He became poor that he might make many rich. And we've missed the love of Jesus. If you think that you've got to go through every... you've got to go upon the same kind of a cross that he went upon. That's not the deeper truth at all. As I indicated yesterday afternoon, what he taught me is, if you'll identify yourself with the Jesus of that cross and that resurrection, and you're ready to follow him through Gethsemane, and Gethsemane means spirit interpreted, thy will be done about everything. And all of us will have to follow him that far. It don't matter what your will for me is. I accept it. And I accept it just as happily as I can. There, you're following Jesus that far will have. But God's will for Jesus, as he could make a perfect offering, was to die for the sins of the whole world. And God's will for me is that I should die to my sins and not repeat over what Jesus did. Because that work has already been accomplished. Do you catch my point? God don't want me to enter into death, but he wants me to enter into the life that Jesus Christ has purchased for me. God don't will the death of any, but he wills that all should live. And I think it's mighty easy, people who conduct funerals particularly, and write letters of consolation, and I fall into it myself. I wrote one this morning. Hallelujah. 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 And what we call physical death, if you're so bound up with cancer or so bound up with this thing or that thing and you haven't faith enough to be healed, it's a great release to get out of the body. And I think Christians go into a wonderful happiness. But that's not the last word about that. The last word is that God wants the kingdom of heaven to come on earth. And the last enemy in this sense to be conquered is death. And Jesus Christ wants the same order of victory over the world, the flesh, devil, hell, grave, and everything right down here in this realm is up in the heavenly realm. And he's going to reign until that is accomplished. The heavenly order, which is a sinless order, a diseaseless order, and a deathless order, must be triumphant here. And Jesus Christ's work of creation and his work of redemption continues until that has been accomplished. So he can turn back to God the Father, a sinless order, a diseaseless order, and a deathless order. And in that sense, death stands as an enemy for its achievement. On the relative human plane, death stands as a great release if you haven't faith enough to be healed. But if you go to heaven and do not take your body with you to heaven, I think you're looking forward to the time you'll get your body. Everybody has always got something to look forward to. And in the heavenly realm, they're looking forward to being like Jesus. And Jesus took his body to heaven with him. And our salvation will not be complete until our external is redeemed and transformed, as well as our spirit. It wouldn't be heaven to me to be in a realm of abstract spirituality. Hallelujah. Stanley Jones used a fine phrase years ago. The body without the soul is a corpse. And the soul without the body is a ghost. And I'd much rather be a ghost than a corpse. Hallelujah. But I'd much rather be like Jesus Christ than to be evil. Jesus Christ is neither a ghost nor a corpse. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ took everything you had here on earth to glory with it and transmuted it into the higher realm and universalized it. And in our full salvation, we're to be like him. And if we're going with him, we're having a wonderfully good time on the way to it. Hallelujah. And it'll always be getting better and better and better and better. And as the old sister said, you can have such a heaven of a time going to heaven. You can shout all around heaven when you get to heaven if they didn't let you in. The trip's worth making. Hallelujah. We do love you, Lord. And so the great concern of Jesus on the last night is that we should be friends of each other. We should really love one another like he loves us. We should love like God loves him. That this heavenly love that's been triumphant in one should become triumphant in all of us. This heavenly joy, hallelujah, that's been brought forth in Jesus might be brought forth in us, and our own joy might be made full. So Jesus Christ gives you more than giving you himself. He gives you himself and then amazes you what he can do with yourself.
Hallelujah.
He does not obliterate you, but he gives you himself and then transforms you into his likeness so that you'll always be one with him in the heavenly order and spirit and dominion, hallelujah, and all else. And at the same time, this thing that makes you a little different from everybody else will be a contribution to the whole universe.
Hallelujah.
Why, we don't want everybody to be alike. I've heard people say there isn't but one Mosley. If there's another, then we'd be in each other's way, decided. And so God does not make any two things exactly alike. But he makes everything enough alike so everything can understand everything else and everything can love everything else. It's the union of love and union of spirit in this great variety. And so, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, means for us to have the same kind of love that he has. Well, now we're going to get it. Why, if you let him love you, all he wants to love you, he'll love you into loving. The starting point of being loving like Jesus is to stop resisting his love and let him just love you and love you and love you and love you. And stop resisting the lover and let the lover get on the inside of you. And when the lover gets on the inside of you and the Holy Spirit that sheds abroad this love has you. Hallelujah. Why, you just have to love. You got so much love in you, you just have to get out. Hallelujah. And so this ideal that's so high, much higher than anything in the law, hallelujah, becomes supernatural and natural. Hallelujah. If you let him have his way with you. And his way is that he wants to get on the inside of you. His way with you is he wants to give you as much as you can take of the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the promise of the Father when he went into the heavenly world. That's marvelous, isn't it? And he gives it to you as a free gift. You don't have to get good to get it. Hallelujah. You just have to be hungry. The prodigal son didn't have to get good before he got to that feast. He just got to get so hungry he came where the food was. Hallelujah. And he had to eat humble pie on the way to fatted calf. We do love you, Lord. And so this new commandment is the commandment that fulfills all other commandments of conduct. The others cannot fulfill themselves on their own level. They can only be fulfilled on this level. And St. Paul says, by this introduction of this marvelous grace, the law has not been abolished. The law has been established. The law never has been established in its own realm. As C.F. Phillips, in his brilliant translation, said, the keen edge of the law only showed us how crooked we are. It didn't make us straight at all. It just showed up our crookedness. And the King James, it's the schoolmaster. It's the leaders to Christ. Somebody's put it, it's the bus driver. Hallelujah. To land us at school. Hallelujah. And so the external law of love and everything else, and all of your commandments without, are only serving the purpose to bring you to this inner something. Jesus Christ in you, not only the hope of glory, but Jesus Christ in you, the beginning of glorification. Not only the inner light and the inner spirit, but the light without getting on the inside of you. The glory from above falling upon you and getting all over you and all in you. The Lord who's already arrived in glory, knocking and longing to come in from the inside. And you can just listen to your own inner voice all you want to. Unless you obey the inner voice. If you really obey the inner voice, you'll be led to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the deep purpose of the law, the inner voice, and everything is to get you into deep union with the glorified Lord. And be filled with His love, and be filled with His joy, and be filled with His peace, and to be filled with His health and His wonder. Well, what else did Jesus talk about in the last night? He moves in that there must be this same kind of union between us and Jesus as there is between Jesus and the Father. I of myself can do nothing without my Father. He speaks through me, He loves through me, He heals through me, He brings forth the kingdom. And in the same way, I want to live in you, I want to speak through you, I want to reign through you, I want to love through you, I want to heal through you. As I said before, I want my joy to be your joy, and I want your joy made full. I want my perfect bones to get in your bones, and I want you to have good bones too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my all to be yours. And then I want your all, hallelujah, to have any good in it, brought to perfection through union with me. And so the great central teaching of the night culminates in union, doesn't it? I in thee and thou in me. With me all things are possible to you. Without me, you're no good in a spiritual sense. And you're not going to be any good long in a physical sense. Hallelujah. You may be a mighty big limb on a mighty big tree. And you'll make more firewood than the little branches will make. But you won't be any good, hallelujah, for fruit bearing, a big limb any more than you will a little branch. You'll just make more fire than anybody else. Hallelujah. There'll be more heat around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you see it? You're no good outside of Him. You have to be in union with Him. Nobody's any good running on his own hook. Hallelujah. This union means death. Hallelujah. It's only in union that there's life. And if Jesus Christ is triumphing in me and I'm triumphing in Him, I'm already in heavenly places on the way to heaven. But if I'm separated from Jesus Christ, I'm just drying up. If I'm not burning fast, I'm going through the process of dry rot. Hallelujah. And a dry rot is just a slow process. Hallelujah. A fast burning. Hallelujah. Everything out of union has to go back to its primitive elements, that it may be picked up again and maybe do something with it. And so the great theme of all, I believe, culminates here in union. Jesus Christ in us and we in Jesus Christ. And then his prayer in the last night, I think Louise quoted it yesterday or today, was that the love wherewith the Father has loved me may be in them, that is my disciples, and I may be in them. That's what he talked about the last night. A perfect union with Him. He in us, and we in Him. And outflowing and overflowing with the same kind of love that the Father has for Jesus and Jesus has for us. And then we'll add the Sermon on the Mount, the same kind of love for our enemies that God has for His enemies. That's the Christian life. Hallelujah. Don't you see that? And then the other thing that he talked about the last night so much was that I'm going away to send you another comforter. I'm going to still be a comforter myself. I'll be with you to the end of the world. You don't have to worry if you're called before a Hitler, hallelujah, or Stalin. They may think he should try you, but just an opportunity, you'll have to bear testimony of me, hallelujah. Just an opportunity to be a witness. You don't have to go to them to preach the gospel. They force you to come to them. Hallelujah, to preach. Hallelujah. I know they may think they're going to burden you or do all kinds of things to you, but what you're going to do is you're going to show him my love and you're going to show him my light. You're going to be a true and faithful witness to me. And that's your opportunity. And you don't have to study in advance what you're going to say.
Hallelujah.
He'll be giving you in that hour what to say. For it won't be you that do the talking, but the Spirit of my Father will speak through you. The Holy Ghost will speak through you. I'll speak through you.
Hallelujah.
And if you ever have to face a crisis, the preparation is not a speech, but the preparation is to get in the right spirit. One of the most difficult ordeals that I ever faced was to go before the Board of Trustees of the Southern Baptist College and let them know in their estimation I was big enough fool, hallelujah, to feel there might be something in Christian Science and resign my position to go and look and see if there was. For I felt I can't afford to let this bring this thing in the college until I know about it, and I can't know about it unless I find out.
Hallelujah.
And if there's a ray of hope here, what is conventional success in comparison to finding out that? And so I took that position. I thought they'd almost run out of the room by the time, and I tried to prepare something for them to read, and every time I'd try to prepare something for them to read, the voice would say, I'll give you in that day what you ought to say. And so before I met these theologians, I went to a side room and prayed that I might do God's will in a way that make it as easy as possible for them to do God's will. And I came out there anointed, and as I look back over it, I don't see how I could have done better. Hallelujah. Why, we had a revival there that night. Hallelujah. The best Baptist revival I've ever seen anywhere. Never seen the Lord so present in a Baptist meeting as that was. The first thing I knew, one of the edges of the papers over hugging me and said, this boy's got religion, don't know what's the matter with it. they just proposed all kinds of things. The man who was such a fundamentalist that he built a house and said that nobody would ever occupy a certain room in it until Jesus came and occupied it. Well, if he'd had real understanding, Jesus possibly occupied it every night. If he'd taken in some disciple that didn't have a bed somewhere. Hallelujah. But he even proposed, he first proposed, you study this thing, but keep away from the Christian Scientists. I said, what about a man that wanted to know chemistry? And he said, chemistry is so unpopular, and chemical laboratories, I'll study, but I'll study it on the sly. Hallelujah. What about a fellow that studied chemistry that way? Well, he saw that wouldn't work. Well, he says, why not then? You just go ahead, and we leave your position open. And if you find you can come back, come back. Well, I knew that wouldn't be fair to the college, and I'd have a string tied to me. I don't want any string tied to me. Hallelujah. 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 And I just floated out there in a sea of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd always have felt there's more in it than there is if I hadn't tried it. And God answers a whole lot of your prayers, not because they're the very highest you might do, but because there are certain things that you're interested in, you'll have to experiment with it before you'll find out.
Hallelujah.
He gives you a whole lot of rope, but not quite enough rope to hang yourself. Thank God. The father of the prodigal son granted his request to have his part of the estate, didn't it? And his sister in Macon said, he went off and spent all of his substantials in rottenest living. And after he spent his substantials in rottenest living, he got some sense. Hallelujah, and came back home. Israel thought she wanted the king, and she got a good warning what she is getting, but she got the king. And don't you forget, a great many of your prayers are being answered and not the highest. But you'll have to be answered before you find out they're not the highest. Just like that sister, she is a Christian Scientist, came by Macon and said all of her prayers virtually answered. She thought she wanted a certain man as a husband, prayed for him and got him, and then she was mighty sorry she prayed. But she found it out. And she might have thought she'd always wanted him if she hadn't have gotten him. Why, you're in a great experiment, and God's a great experiment in dealing with you. Have thy way, Lord. Well, we've said very little about the Holy Spirit, and I meant for the others to have been an introduction, for you're more interested at this point than any other thing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ went in the heavenly world. He said, what for? To send the other comforter. Well, the other comforter must be tremendously important for Jesus Christ to go away to send him. If it's best for us for Jesus Christ to go away, for what did we lose when he went away? Hallelujah. Well, we had one fellow on here, on earth here, could heal a cancer. Hallelujah. Or heal anything else. One fellow here had no failures at all. Well, that'd be a wonderful inspiration, wouldn't it? And he's the only one that hasn't had some failures. I said to the Lord once, miracles go along with me sometimes, but they're more not miracles than they are miracles. And so I said to the Lord, why is it, Jesus, if you'd have had a failure, that would have been news. That would have gotten all over the whole world quickly. There's a fellow tried to raise a fellow from the dead, and he didn't come out. That would just about ruin the movement. How'd they have thy way? Have thy way. Just think of what risky thing Jesus did when he told the dead to come forth. If I tell him to come forth, hallelujah, except in one instance, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit did it through me, I'd do it in the quiet. And it takes a loud voice to raise the dead. And the longer they've been dead, the more noise it takes to wake them up. If they've only been dead for a few minutes, an ordinary voice of Jesus would wake them up. If they've been dead as long as Lazarus was, decomposition setting in, it takes a whole lot of noise. And if they've been dead for ages, it's going to take the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. It's the same with you spiritually. If you're very dead, it's going to take a sight to wake you up. If you're just moderately dead, it won't take so much. Have thy way, Lord, have thy way. Well, now what about this other comforter? It's so important that it's good for Jesus to go away in order to give this other comforter. In other words, after the other comforter is given, we're going to have more than we'd have had if Jesus had stayed here. Well, how did that happen? And Jesus himself received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit when he went in the glory world, Acts 2:33. Having himself received the promise of the Father, one translation says of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth what you now see and hear. So Jesus received, when he went into the glory world, and he gave back to that waiting group at Pentecost as much as they'd take. Jesus is the only one, I think, that's ever received in fullness this gift of the Father, this promise of the Father. And what is the essence of this promise of the Father? I think it's for a minute, at least, for a time. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you allow God, through Jesus Christ, to have every bit of you. So your mind, your spirit, your soul, your body, your tongue, and everything comes under heavenly control and heavenly use. Many of you have had anointings where you let him almost have you. Hallelujah. But very few people have ever let God have them completely. So God could have a chance to show you how well he can do with your tongue and how well he can do with you in comparison to the way you do it. Hallelujah. Of course, if God just take over and do it all the time, you wouldn't be you any longer. It would just be God. And God's working to make you like him. And he just gives you a sample.
Hallelujah, if you'll allow him to.
The glory he's in, and the glory he can put upon you. I know you raised the question, does this control of the tongue have to be in English? I think historically it usually has been. But I tested the Lord out on this, and I told him, if you can do this thing in English, I'll appreciate it. But if you can't, I'll take it like you give it. Hallelujah. I'd rather be, as I said yesterday afternoon, dancing in glory, even if I look foolish to the dead, dry bones that haven't any action upon them. Hallelujah. To be down a dry bone with them. Hallelujah. I'm powerfully influenced by the public opinion, but I'd rather break with public opinion and get in glory than to stay with public opinion, remain dry and dead and conventional. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not your sins that are keeping you out of the kingdom. Primarily, it's your stiffness and your conventionality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of you'd rather go where nobody, take chances, going where nobody ought to go. Hallelujah. To say a good hearty hallelujah unless other people are saying it too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Billy Bray praised the Lord so much that he got on somebody's nerves. And they said, Brother Billy, don't you think praising the Lord can become a habit? He said, yes, it can. And it's a mighty good habit and very few habits. Hallelujah. I've named one of my feet glory and the other hallelujah. So when I walk, it's glory hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you put me in a barn, I'd take glory out of the bunghole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, now, before we have a good rollicky time, have a much better time at a heavenly meeting than they have at a show. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got to get spontaneous. We've got to get happy. We've got to get joyous. We've got to become childlike. Down at our Florida camp, they got the singing. Marge did, and she can... She sent me a song rouser. Hallelujah. Don't know anybody can beat her unless it's Glenn Harding, and sometimes I wonder whether Glenn can beat her. Hallelujah. We ought to all get to dancing and yielding to the music. But with all that great singing, there's a little girl there, 4 years old, that got in the spirit that sang a song and went to dancing, and the rest of us remained conventional. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit wants to just... You look out there at those little trees. Well, according to that rock pile out there, there's no wind blowing. But according to the leaves of the tree, there's just a brisk wind blowing. And that's the way of the Spirit. The Spirit is like the wind blowing. And if you are not a regular lamppost, hallelujah, or a stone wall, you yield to ever blowing and ever straying of the wind. But if you're like, hallelujah, like a whole lot of things are around here, you'd take a cyclone to ever move you. Everything sways when enough power comes. But we ought to be receptive to the least movements of the Spirit. And we ought to be happy for the Spirit to move upon us. Hallelujah. And at that point, where the Lord has every bit of you, and if you prefer it in English, I don't think he's going to hold you all. Hallelujah. But I do believe after your prejudices go, you'll find an enrichment by the fact that someone is with you and within you that knows languages and knows a whole lot of things away beyond you. So I wanted the Lord within, asked him to come within. Hallelujah. And asked for all he had, all I did know about. And was not dogmatic on the question of tongues, but just expressed a preference. Hallelujah. He showed me he could speak in English. Hallelujah. And it's greatly extended my testimony. For if I'd come before you and tell the truth, and you've got to bear true testimony, and told you that in any early stage of my experience, I went speaking in tongues, he's just one of those tongues fellas. Hallelujah. He's kindly all. Hallelujah. We won't have anything to do with him. But when I come to you telling it, I feel about like most of you feel. Hallelujah. And I got in a marvelous glory, and the Lord from glory appears without an end breeze. By the time I get to talking about tongues, you're not much disturbed about tongues. And so the Lord has prepared me to get them going and coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But your big problem is not a problem of tongues. Your big problem is, are you willing for Jesus Christ to have every bit of you? Are you willing to trust yourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's got as much sense as you've got? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you believe he's going to give you anything that won't be good for you? Are you willing to trust it? Are you willing to follow wherever the Lamb leads? Are you willing to cry the Lord out? If you are, the heavenly breezes will blow on you and the heavenly wind will blow on you like the heavenly wind is blowing upon those trees. I'm getting in mighty little, and hallelujah. I've drawn the short period here, hallelujah. As I'm talking so much on the outside, I don't think anybody has any advantage of me, though, in the situation. Now, precious Lord, reveal these things in a more loving spirit than I'm capable of doing it. In a more beseeching spirit. Lord, we know you're brooding over us. You want to give us all you have, Lord. And you cannot give it to us until you get us hungry for it, Lord. Create a hunger in us for the very things you want to give us. Create a will and a willing in us for the very things that you want to accomplish through us, Lord. Take away our fears. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus Christ, we wouldn't miss the best you have for us. We wouldn't miss the all you have for us for anything, Jesus. Equip us for our task as well as you equip the early church. If you have more to give than you gave at Pentecost, Lord, prepare us for it. And we know that there's more in heaven to be given now than there was then, for you've been there for a good long time, and a whole lot of mighty nice folks have been with you, too. Hallelujah. And if we plug into heaven now, we plug into more than the early church did. And we know that the glory of the latter house is to be greater than the glory of the former house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, too. Go to your prayer groups.